Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, February 19th of 2019. And I'm so glad to have you with us. It's my joy to be able to be here with you guys, to be able to do this great radio program. And I'm your host, of course, for this evening, as always, the Miracle Man. And I'm glad to be with you. I want to let you know one thing. It's going to be a shortened radio program tonight. But I got bad news. And that is another weather bulletin. This time it's a winter weather advisory from the National Weather Service. Oh, don't you just love that when you get that? It's like a great big Christmas present, and you unwrap it. Oh, yeah. Don't you just love that present? You open that up, and it says National Weather Service, winter weather advisory, whatever. Don't you just, you love that, don't you?
I do.
Oh, even better, ice storm warnings. No, no, no. All sarcasm. I personally, I am so sick and tired of those. Very much so. This one is 9 a.m. tomorrow morning to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Depending on where you live, like up in this area, it could be it could be nearly an inch of snow with a tenth of an inch of ice on top of it, followed by possibly another tenth of an inch of ice tomorrow night. Downstate could be snow to half an inch or so and a tenth of an inch of ice. A tenth of an inch of ice might not seem like so much, but really makes the roads really slick, makes them pretty hazardous. Should turn to all rain downstate a little bit later. So, let's keep that in mind. Tomorrow morning, winter weather advisory. Listeners, I am going to take a minute now to tell you guys how you can tell others how to be a part of this radio program. And what you tell them is, here's what you can do. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar. And in that search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that is Upfront Entertainment. Okay? After you've got that in there, you will see a link that says Live in Large. I want you to click on that link. After that, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that. Then you'll see a follow button, which we want you to click on, because then you'll get notified when we get ready to do our shows. All right. And then there are a couple of cool things of note. One of them is that everything we've done is all archived, so you can take a look back at what all I've done on this program over the past year and a half. And another cool thing is that I want to mention is that it is always a smart thing to listen to this radio program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea. Every time, you won't feel sorry that you did. Not in the least bit. You will not feel one bit sorry for yourself that you did it. As it's an awesome thing to listen to it on your smartphone. Also, we have a telephone number where you can call in and which you can call into this radio program and be a part that way. You can talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about. And that we can pray, we can talk about sports. Basically, whatever you want to talk about. The number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then go ahead and press 1. And once you press 1, you'll be taken to the call screener. My assistant will answer the phone. And then she'll let me know we have a caller. And then I'm going to let you on the air. Okay? Hopefully we can get some great calls tonight. Okay, a couple things I want to mention. One, donut fries come out tomorrow at McDonald's, at a McDonald's near you. These donut fries are a breakfast item only, so they're only available during breakfast hours. They're not on the all-day breakfast menu, so be aware of that. Item number two. Orange Vanilla Coke launches on Monday, the 21st. Be on the lookout for that at a store near you. I'm pretty excited about it. Number three. Punchki Day. Fat Tuesday is coming up on Tuesday, March 5th. Some place I've heard of is going to be offering peanut butter punchkis this year. It'll be the first time I've ever had one of these. And to be honest, I am extremely excited about that. To see what it's like. Peanut butter punchki. Doesn't that sound delicious? Peanut butter punch tea.
Yeah, that's a donut.
Oh, yes. Because everybody needs some donuts in their life. Yes. I like to think that manna was used, you know, manna, what they ate in the desert. I used to say, sometimes I feel like that's where donuts came from. I do. You know, sometimes I just think that that's where manna came from was from, I mean, where donuts came from was from manna. Also, starting 2 weeks from tonight, March 5th, and going to until Friday, March 8th, National Holy Spirit Conference at Living Word Church here in Midland, Tuesday night through Friday night. It's going to be a great thing. I'll have more details for you on that as the time approaches. Okay. Now we're going to pray, and I'm going to open up the Word. We're going to open up the Word for a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this radio program. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this radio program tonight. Wherever they are, whatever device they're listening, Lord, it's about you. That's what we care about, Lord God. This is about you. That's why we do this radio program. It's for you. It's for your glory. I thank you, Lord, that you use me tonight, that you bless these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of it. I just thank you that these people have a heart to receive from you. And Lord, I thank you. I confess over this radio program that finances are coming into this radio program. More and more listeners are coming into this program. And sponsors and partners are coming into this program. And most importantly, souls are coming into this radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Go to Matthew 10. Praise God. Matthew 10. And we'll see what all the Lord has in store for us this evening. I just want to encourage you. Whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. Check something here. I'm just looking at a couple things here. Let me just take a look at this real quick. Let's go to, actually, you know what? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Come on. Actually, let's go to 11, because I love something that I see at the end of 11. All right, I'm going to start reading. You go ahead and catch up with me. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those that have leprosy are cured. The dead hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What do you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth. Among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is last in the kingdom of heaven is greater than either. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. All of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. What can I compare this generation to? They, and just turn the page, they are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Verse 20, this next passage. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in these cities had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Rest for the weary. And I'm really excited about this one. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except for the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are refreshed and ready to work and go do hard work and plow and shovel. Wait a minute, does it say that? Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that, does it? Let's go read it right. Verse 28 again. Come to me, all ye who are weary and are burdened. One version says heavy laden. And I, meaning the Lord Jesus, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to Hebrews 11. And then we'll discuss this a little bit in a few minutes when we exhort. Amen. God wants us to be at peace. He really does. Praise God. Hebrews 11. We're going to what we kind of like, what we like to call the text of the theme text of the Miracle Man Show, because it is the chapter on faith. Because we're about faith here. We're all about faith here on Miracle Man. Yes, we are. So I'm just turning the page. Just turning the page. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. I'll just pause and I was just making sure I had my spot right. I'm sorry. Just both not to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, wasn't able to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things, they show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunities to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. And he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. After he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced cheers and flogging, whilst all others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sodden to. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. They were all committed for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of the 12 now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, folks. Now, okay. So, not bad. Here is what I wanted to talk to you guys about. So, here is how this all ends up going. So, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is just finishing up instructing his disciples about, you know, I want you guys to go and do this and this and this and this and this. And some of John's disciples, John the Baptist disciples, they came out and they said, is this Jesus? Or should we expect someone else? And sure enough, there he was. And they explained, look at this. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. You know, and all these miracles have happened. So that's pretty cool. Another, later on in the chapter, Jesus comes out and he says, woe, Chorazin, woe to you. All these miracles that I've done in these cities, and you choose not to repent. And he says, a few different cities, it'll be more tolerable for you folks in Tyre and Sidon and in Sodom than what it'll be for you folks. Because you folks didn't repent. You didn't repent and give up your sin. And you would get healed and then go back to doing what you were doing. Let's take a look at those last few verses of Matthew 11. And these are pretty awesome. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I, meaning the Lord Jesus, I will give you rest. He's not talking about rest on your bed like a nap. Nor is he talking about the sleepy sleep. you know when you go to bed at night. He's not talking about shut-eye. He's talking about rest for your soul. And he says, come to me. I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, Jesus did a lot of great miracles. Oh, yeah. Healing of the blind eyes, deaf ears, those people that he raised from the dead, people who were lame, all the loaves, the water and the wine. Yeah, all kinds. He did all kinds of stuff. All that and more. And he just did all these great miracles. But you want to know what the greatest miracle of all that he did? He saved your soul. He saved my soul. No, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm a former this and this. I gave my life to Christ when I was like 24 or whatever. No, I was brought up as a Christian. The Bible does say all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It does say that. And but my point is, he saved our soul from the pits of hell. That, my friend, is the greatest miracle he ever did. Now, about this Hebrews 11, he used all these examples of these people from the Old Testament who walked by faith. Noah, Enoch. Yes, Enoch walked with God. No, Enoch, Noah, Jacob, Joseph, Abraham, Isaac, Moses. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea. They were able to cross the Red Sea on dry land. Egyptians didn't work so well when they tried to cross it. They just got into the water. I mean, they just got in and tried to do it, and nope. Didn't work because they didn't have the favor of God on them. They didn't have the favor of God. They had forsaken God. The Egyptians. That's why they didn't have, and they just struggled. But all these people live by faith in the Old Testament. These people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And the people who marched seven times at the wall of Jericho. And Rahab wasn't killed with the rest of those Israelites. I mean, she wasn't killed with the people who were disobedient to God, because you know why? Because she welcomed those spies. She welcomed them. That's why she wasn't killed right there on the spot by God. There's one more thing I want to talk about, and that is about this character in Luke. Josh Barclay talked about it on Sunday morning. This character in Luke, he was very sick. He was paralyzed. And these four men, they go to these four men and him. They're carrying the bed. He's on the bed. They're going to the house of God. They pull up to the house of God. Now, there were no cars yet, but they get there and they look inside and they're like, this place is so full. There's no way we're getting in here, bud. There's no way we're getting in here. It's at capacity. And furthermore, I don't get how the door is blocked. It's a fire code. These days, it'd be like they couldn't park. They'd have to park a long ways away. But, I mean, needless to say, they get there. They're trying to find a way in. And they come up with this idea. Let's get them up through the roof. Let's get a hole through the roof. Let's make a hole in the roof and bring them down through that. And that guy who's on that bed is probably like, what? I don't like you guys very much right now. You guys are going to take me down through in front of Jesus through the roof? Uh-huh. So they end up making the hole in the roof because they can't get him in there any other way because it's just so full. And there were no wheelchairs back then or anything like that. So it's not like he ended up being brought down through the roof of the synagogue where Jesus was. And when they brought him down on the roof, he was right there in front of Jesus. Right there in front of Jesus. And Jesus looked at the man on this bed. He's totally paralyzed. And he says, look, your sins are forbidden. Your sins are forgiven. What? Your sins are forgiven? I'm paralyzed and I'm on this bed. That's what he might have been thinking. And these Pharisees and some of these Sadducees were there, obviously, and questioning him about it. And he says, And he says, young man, I say to you, get up. He arose and got up from his bed and walked. And praise God, for he had been healed of the Lord. He had been in his darkest hour, but God healed him. God healed him of that sickness and that disease. Jesus healed him right there on the spot, instantly. And all the people were amazed. Of course, these Sadducees and all them, though, they were asking these questions, and they're like, what in the world is all this? And he wanted himself healed. Those four guys who were with him wanted him healed too. And you want to know what might have been going through some of their heads? I hope not, but who knows? Man, it looks packed in there. I don't know. Tim, should we just go back home? Or, I don't know. What about trying this other way to get him in there? Yeah. This looks full. Yeah, no, let's try the roof. That's what they end up deciding to do, but I bet you one of them might have been thinking, yeah. You see, these people were desperate. They were desperate. You got to get to that place, if you believe in God for something, you got to get to this place of desperation. This place where you'll do whatever it takes to receive that miracle. That you'll just do whatever it takes. You'll check all accounts. You'll just make sure that everything's right with God. You've got to get to that place where you decide, you know what? I've waited too long for this, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, whatever it takes. He probably thought they were crazy for bringing him down that roof like that. And Jesus, or at least some of those people sitting here in that synagogue, probably heard some of the noises, but found the roof and was like, oh my goodness, what in the world is that? Oh, these days I can guarantee you people would be saying that. What on earth is that? Bringing them down through the roof? That desperation. He brought him in to the house of God, right there in front of Jesus, on that bed. I don't know what these other people were wearing, but I doubt this guy who was paralyzed, I doubt he had a suit and tie on. He was concerned about getting healed. It was his number one thing. And Jesus healed him right there, right then. Let me just check the clock real quick. All right. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you that we would all get this word in our hearts, that we would be, those of us who are believing God for a miracle, we'll get to that place where we are just seeking you and we're just desperate for what we're believing you for. And I just thank you that we would just get this on the inside of us, and that this would just stay with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right, now. sports talk. The Lions do not look like they will be. It does not sound like they will be using the franchise tag this year on anybody. At least at this point. That's for one thing. So Stafford will probably stay. Hopefully we can get some good draft picks. And who knows what will happen through the course of free agency. We'll just have to wait and see. I hope we can get a good wide receiver in exchange for getting rid of Golden Tate. I still think that was a terrible idea to do that right in the middle of the season like that. Annie, wasn't that a terrible choice?
Yep.
So he's a hand that needs to be replaced yesterday. And so hopefully they'll find a good replacement either via the draft or free agency. I tried to go both ways, to be honest with you. Because what if the guy who gets drafted, what if he doesn't deliver? Not every draft pick is going to be a Mayfield that signed with Cleveland as a good quarterback. Not all of them are going to be like that. Some draft picks, whether it be wide receiver, quarterback, or whatever, they're going to be a bust. They're not going to be that great. Ain't that the truth, Annie? Sometimes they're just not.
The Lions
learned that terribly from Joey Harrington. I mean, it was not pretty. And I remember those radio hosts. They used to like sit there and sing Joey Harrington's praises. The season they signed him, they're like, "Oh, he's just gonna be so smart. He's gonna be such a great quarterback." Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They used to be like, "Oh, he's just gonna be so great." Oh, that, didn't they just make it sound like that?
Yeah.
I thought like they did. What were you thinking at that? Did you think they were right, or did you think he was overrated even at that point?
Overrated, though. I always think people are overrated unless they're, like, amazing.
You are. And even the first year with Tom Brady, it was like, is he that good? Or did he just get lucky this time?
Right. No. Yeah.
And then the next year, you know, with Tom Brady, it was, you know, they took a step back, missed the playoffs. But then the next year, they won, and then suddenly there was a few more believers. But then the next year, that was the selling point. When he won his third Super Bowl and four rings, that was the total selling point with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they realized, you know, this is the real deal, that dynasty thing. And now, latest on Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan's got to go to Minnesota and play tomorrow night. Michigan State has a home game at the Breslin. Michigan got lucky by beating Minnesota at home a few weeks ago. I really hope that Michigan can be able to beat Minnesota on their home turf this time and not struggle like what they did at times at the Chrysler Center against the Golden Gophers. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. The Michigan versus Michigan State is a home and home this season. Game one is on Sunday at Michigan. Game two is, I believe, at either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week at MSU. The sad news is that Michigan State is dealing with that injury bug, including one of their best players has a broken hand. He'll be out for at least 3 weeks. He went through surgery, and apparently, according to Tom Izzo, it was a successful surgery. As I was listening to them talk about it on the Huge Show on ESPN 100.9 FM here in the Tri-City market. And who's going to win these this home-and-home series? It's hard to tell right now. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm really excited about that series. I think it's going to be great. And folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.